We got Senator Jacobson with us, patiently standing by on our line. How are you today, Mike?
Hey, I'm great, guys. How are you?
So far, so good.
Yep, so far, so good. All right. It's all about the budget. Started those evening, extending the sessions into the evening. It looked like, from what I read at one point last week, an article that I read, that you were making some progress on chopping down the deficit and making that up. How's that coming?
Well, the amendments got added to, we did pass the budget. The budget bill is LB 261, and the fund transfer bill is LB 264.
Mm-hmm.
And the mainline budget bill, LB 261, will get replaced with an amendment, AM 1320. And AM 1320 will now become the mainline budget bill. The budget was out of balance when we passed it on general file to select file.
Mm-hmm.
So this select file amendment, LB 13 or AM 1320, balances the budget and takes into account really what the Economic Forecasting Board, the curveball that they threw us here a couple of weeks ago. We will take about $135 million out of the rainy day fund to balance the budget. That will come through LB 264, and that will be through AM 1300. So AM 1300 will become LB 264.
Okay.
Now, what will happen, of course, is the good news is these two bills are declared by the exec board to be speaker major proposals, and when you have a speaker major proposal, the rest of the rules that generally apply on stalling tactics on the floor don't apply. So
mm-hmm.
if you file an amendment or you file to return to file return to committee, the speaker can say that's coming last. We're going to deal with everything else first.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have 4 hours to debate since it's on select file. You can expect 4 hours on both these bills today. We will go late enough, I'm sure, to be able to vote on both these bills on select file. They've got to lay over a day on select to final, and then we will take them up on final reading. But the budget has to be passed by the 80th day, which is Thursday, which is the last day we will meet this week. I think for the most part, what our plan is in LB 1320 is to not mess with the Perkins County Canal Fund other than the interest. Do not mess with the property tax credit fund, and not do any rollbacks or slowdown or pausing of the state income tax cuts. There will be amendments offered to change that,
mm-hmm.
and I think most of us will be fighting that. I said in my article this week we'll let you see who really believes that property tax cuts are necessary and who really believes that income taxes cuts are necessary. And we will also figure out who's for cutting spending and who's for spending more money. And that will become very apparent through the floor debate and through the votes this week on the floor.
Let me guess. Do you want to place a bet on any of those, Mike?
I've got a pretty good bet on how most people will vote on the floor.
Oh,
and I will tell you, you can bet everybody who knocked on doors when they got elected, their constituents told them one thing and one consistent thing, and that was cut my property taxes. Okay,
right.
And if they didn't own a house, they probably didn't tell you that, but they should have, because their rent, the price of their rent takes into consideration property taxes. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yep.
It says here in the article that I read last week on Omaha.com, several Republican lawmakers took issue with the claims that the legislature is at fault for the deficit, and then it quoted you and said that you argued the deficit is largely due to changes to Nebraska's allocations and the federal medical assistance percentage. What is that FMAP, as it's known?
Well, the FMAP is the federal Medicaid support. So Medicaid is federally mandated on the state, so it's an unfunded mandate, although we do get funding to fund it. But the funding is based upon how each state does in relationship to others. So in Nebraska, our economy is much stronger than most every other state in the union. And because of that, it takes into consider average income, takes into consideration what our overall economy is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But because our economy is doing well, they actually cut you. Okay, it's the government way. We're not going to reward success. We're going to punish success.
Right.
Okay, I've always had a little trouble with that concept.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. So for Nebraska over the 2-year period of time, it's $350 million, okay, that they're cutting our Medicaid percentage match. So we got that little prize handed to us early on, and so that's just $350 million that was in revenue that's going away. So we had to find a replacement for that, and that's where a lot of the going into the cash funds, pulling money out of cash funds. And so you ask the question, okay, what's a cash fund? Well, cash funds are every agency has money in a cash fund, and they get to the end of the year, and if they have money left over, it goes into their cash fund,
mm-hmm.
and it stays there. So that money in many agencies is built up substantially over the years, and so the governor decided that before we raise taxes or before we slash needed expenditures, let's go into the cash funds and draw out the excess cash funds. Now, I will be the first to tell you that the Appropriations Committee probably went a little overboard on some of the cash funds. Some of the agencies weren't as vocal as they needed to be on what they had planned for the uses of those cash funds. And so there were some cash funds, like, for example, rural workforce housing, where they are taking money out of rural workforce housing that really needed to stay in there. That's money that's already committed, already obligated. And so we are working on an amendment. Senator Hallstrom's going to bring it, and we will bring an amendment today that would restore $8 million of that in year two. We're getting about $16 million a year going into that fund. And so we're taking steps to restore some of the of the housing, rural workforce housing, and middle income housing workforce mm-hmm. projects, but basically, we're going to end up needing to take about $135 million out of the rainy day fund in order to balance the budget. Now, mm-hmm. let me tell you that the rainy day fund currently has about $821 million in it. About 5 years ago, we had $330 million in it. So the money that we would take out would still leave us with a balance of 12% of our annual expenditures, and that's been as low as 2 or 3%. So we've got plenty of room today to make that cut. And we actually, if we came back next year and had to take some more out of the rainy day fund, we could. And I think the feeling of the body is we believe that the rainy day funds, that believe it or not, it's starting to rain somewhere. It might not be raining in North Platte or Lincoln.
Right.
But it's raining when it comes to the fact that we need to take some money out of the fund.
Sure.
And so, how much did you say you were going to have to take out of the fund this time for the initial?
$135 million. The plan is about $135 million. Yeah. And we've got $821 million in it.
That sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Well,
Mike, they've Senator Raybould is floating some ideas, including taking $100 million out of the funding for the Perkins County Canal. I know you're and several other senators are adamantly against that. Is that dead in the water, so to speak, or are you worried about that at all?
I don't remember whether she got 6 or 4 votes to when she brought her amendment to a vote last week. So
that's good to hear.
I would say that. Yeah, that proposal probably doesn't have legs.
I would say so.
And the Platt Institute, so-called think tank, according to you, wasn't thinking properly when they proposed freezing the property tax credit fund and the school property tax relief fund. That's not going to happen, is it?
No, I think that also got either one of those got 4 votes and the other one got 6 votes.
Good.
So. I would tell you that if you want to have credibility with senators, do not bring ridiculous proposals like that to us. And I made it clear on the floor that every one of us, when we knocked on doors, had people telling us, fix my property tax problem. So in my mind, I just will resign if I'm going to support this property tax cut that the Platt Institute wants. And so they could have worded it differently. There's 100 different things we could do to balance the budget. But I can tell you this would be the 101st one that we would actually use. So not going to happen.
What is in your mind, what is most likely to happen with the budget this week?
I think pretty much what you're going to see in 1320 and 1300 are going to carry the day. There will be some minor amendments that will be... that will be done, like I say, the rural and middle income workforce housing transfers on 1300 will likely carry the day. There'll be a couple other minor tweaks, but I think pretty much the base of what you're seeing brought by the Appropriations Committee on the changes is really going to be what we're going to do, and that also is what I think the governor will support. Keep in mind, he does have the ability to do line item vetoes, and I would say that if there are amendments that are going to require more than the $135 million out of the cash reserve fund, the governor's probably going to veto that. So, and then I don't know that there'll be votes to override the veto on day 90. So, so that's kind of how the process works. The good news is that the conservatives really had a good week last week in terms of beating back all of maybe more of the crazy proposals. Keep in mind that those who want to take money out of the Perkins County Canal project want to take that money out and spend it. Okay? There are 2 senators that offered bills this year, and I believe, you know, one of them was Senator Spivey. I think if we had passed every bill she brought, it was $400 million of spending, okay? And Senator Kavanaugh, Michaela Kavanaugh, who's leading a charge to roll back the property tax credits, she has spending plans as well. So we're going to find out this week who's serious about cutting spending and who's serious about cutting taxes. And there will be a lot of discussion about that. Keep in mind that when we talk about the income tax, if you make $29,000 a year, you are in the highest tax bracket. You will be impacted by that if you make $29,000 a year. So that's wealthy today, I guess. And by the way, what are the lower brackets for? Well, those are for state senators who make $12,000 a year.
Of course. Senator Conrad is worried about Nebraska facing an even bigger budget deficit in the following budget cycle. Are you concerned about that at all, how this plays out this year, or is it just about getting it done this year and worrying about next year?
Well, I can tell you that the Economic Forecasting Board can have a big influence on a lot of that. If you look at the forecasting that they did, the Economic Forecasting Board was basing a lot of their forecasting on uncertainty around tariffs and the national economy.
Yeah.
And so they took more of a conservative approach. If the tariffs get solved and we do end up getting better trade because of that, which is really the goal, then I think we could really end up with them taking a different look at how they handle the forecast. And we could end up with projections going higher in another year. Also, keep in mind that we are generating more income taxes, more sales taxes, and more property taxes every year. Those numbers are going up. But for the state, our main tax sources are income tax and sales taxes, and that amount of dollars generated is going up every year, and the projection is 6.5%. So we're bringing in 6.5% more revenue, and so if we control the spending, then we should be okay, except for something that might sideswipe us, like the FMAP percentage and things like that that happened this past year. So I've learned in the time down here that it's probably good to really focus on the biennium ahead of us. There's a lot of things that can change between now and then, and we have the rainy day fund really as a buffer, and we still have abilities to maneuver along the way. And so it's too hard to see 3 years out.
Yeah. When you get the budget taken care of, it's back to debating bills. And as far as you're concerned, you feel good about the bills you've signed on to and getting through in the last few days of the session?
Yeah, I took a different tact this year. I signed on to my bills, and the only other bill I signed on was I signed on to a bill for veterans. Otherwise, I just didn't. I know a lot of people sign on as co-sponsors of a bill. I've kind of found that when you don't control the bill, you really don't know how it's going to end up. And a good example would have been the brand bill. I signed on to the brand bill, then in hopes to change it, mm-hmm. and it went a different direction, and so I actually removed my name from the bill, and I'm currently opposing it. And so I guess I've just learned the hard way that it's probably better not to sign on to a bill and just use your vote as your co-sponsorship. And so with that said, the bills that I'm sponsoring all have moved that I wanted to move, and I feel like I'm in good shape there. I chair the banking committee, both the banking priority bills. Now they're on a final reading and select file. They will move on through. So I feel very good about the bills that I've been directly involved with, and I spent most of my time now just trying to keep bad bills from moving and joining on to good bills as they come up.
Sounds good. If people like to get a hold of you, express their opinion, give you input, they can do that via email and phone-wise.
Sure. Phone is 402-471-2729 and M. Jacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And I get a lot of emails from people outside the district that I don't pay much attention to, but I do read them. If you put where your address is, or you make sure you've got a 308 number, I'm going to make sure I take the time to read your email and respond if I can.
But all those emails come from your constituents, and they'll tell you that.
Well, my constituents in Omaha are the really interesting ones. So.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. Have a good week down in Lincoln, okay?
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good one.